Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Lindsay.com. Also check out my blog on KSBW, Ask the Expert, Going Green on the Central Coast. Thank you all for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today. And we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend and stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show, coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. In parts of South Ossetia in Georgia, bodies lie among the rubble where Russian forces took control. And the president of Georgia says they've effectively cut his country in half. Our president.
Russia's government must respect Georgia's territorial integrity and sovereignty.
President Bush within the hour with strong criticism of the Russian invasion. Live now to Washington, CBS's Peter Mayer.
And Hartley, describing Russia's actions in Georgia as dramatic and brutal, President Bush calls for an immediate ceasefire. He challenges Russia to withdraw its troops. He accused Moscow of planning to bomb the civilian airport in the Georgian capital and depose its pro-U.S. government.
Such an action is unacceptable in the 21st century.
Now, in a further sign of his deepening concern about this crisis, the president met with his National Security Council right after returning to Washington from the Beijing Olympics, Harley.
Well, Peter, the tough talk is one thing, but what are the chances the U.S. can do anything here?
Well, for now, it is confining this pressure to the diplomatic front, but the options are really limited since Russia has veto power as a permanent member of the UN Security Council. The president stopped short of threatening any military action, but this is as tense as it's been between the U.S. and Russia in many, many years, Harley.
All right. Peter Mayer there in Washington. The president of Georgia has signed a ceasefire agreement, but his signature is the only one on it. Violence by young people in Hartford, Connecticut is such that city officials have decided to chase them off the streets at night.
A curfew, 9 o'clock for the next 30 days, and it is a police activity first and foremost.
That's the mayor of Hartford, Eddie Perez. Gas prices are still high, but the trend is pointed the right way, for a change anyway.
I paid as much as $4.29. It does make a big difference.
That driver in New Jersey appreciates the news that crude oil went below $115 a barrel today. Gas is expected to be $3.50 or less by Labor Day nationally. If automakers can keep up with the demand, they may sell 3 million small cars this year. Not since the 80s has that happened. Ford and GM experts say their small car sales may be up 10% this year if they can keep up with it. On Wall Street, the Dow up 48 points. NASDAQ gained almost 26 points. Now we know why really hot peppers like the habanero make so much capsaicin and get so very hot. It's their own defense against bugs.
Capsaicin, the thing that makes chilies hot, is really designed to, as an antimicrobial or an antifungal agent.
Joshua Tewksbury at the University of Washington says it's good for birds to eat the peppers and spread the seeds, but a fungus just kills the plant. That's not good, hence the heat to keep fungus away. Former North Carolina Senator John Edwards, mea culpa over the affair he had with a woman a while back, is going to keep him off the national stage at the Democratic convention. Elizabeth Edwards continues to stand by her husband, though, plans to appear with him in a college speech at Salem State in Massachusetts. This is CBS News.
Despite the current economy, you can still drive a safe, luxurious, well-engineered car. Because right now, Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned sales event with deals as low as 1.99% APR on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a rigorous 155-point inspection. So you know you're getting a true 100% Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. See your authorized dealer today for certified affordability. But hurry, our CPO sales event ends soon. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 financed on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
The U.S. is doing very well at the Beijing Olympics, but the brightest spotlight of all is on Michael Phelps.
Two down, six to go for Michael Phelps. Next up on his gold medal journey, the 200-meter freestyle. 4 years ago in Athens, Phelps lost this race, finishing in third. If he wins here, Phelps will not only keep his quest for a record 8 gold medals alive, he will have a career total of 9 gold medals, equaling the most by any athlete in Olympic history. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Olympic Aquatic Center in Beijing.
If you would like to live longer, start running. You can outrun some of the maladies of aging for quite a while. The Archives of Internal Medicine has a study which found people who were runners through middle and older ages lived longer and they had fewer disabilities. Now, they were younger, leaner, and less likely to smoke when they started running, and that's certainly part of it. But the study says they stayed healthy a lot longer, too. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 1996, the U.S. women's gymnastics team delighted the home crowd with athletic feats that turned up gold. You, on the other hand, can barely get out of bed after managing to grind through 5 pull-ups at the gym. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Who's excited for our big road trip?
I'm excited to hear you say bad words when we get lost again.
Now, son, Mommy got Daddy a Garmin Nuvi 780 for Father's Day. Nuvi 780 has preloaded maps so Daddy will never get lost again. And Daddy got this neat subscription to MSN Direct so we can avoid traffic delays, get local weather, and gas prices.
Will you honk the horn with your head again?
It's a new day, son. It's a Garmin Nuvi day.
To receive MSN Direct content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a beautiful summer day around San Francisco Bay, and I'm glad you can listen. In a moment, we'll get a live report from the island of Crete in the Mediterranean. The Free Gaza Flotilla getting ready to set sail for Gaza. And we'll talk with Ari Melber, a journalist who's following the Obama campaign for The Nation and other outlets. Fine, thank you. And Elizabeth Farnsworth, you may remember her from the Public Television News Hour. Well, she has produced a special for PBS called The Judge and the General, about the judge who indicted General Augusto Pinochet for the deadly era that he presided over in Chile. Next hour, Cliff Schechter, our regular guest, author of The Real McCain, updates us on a move-on ad and the anti-Obama ad that they're actually paying some cash to run on Olympics broadcasts. Then we'll get a report on this conflict in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. Alexander Melikashvili will join us from the Monterey Institute coming up in about an hour and a half. We'll talk to John Edwards' confession, the anthrax investigation. It's a mess. And we're going to find out how oak trees here in California offer a nice cleanup for the carbon emissions that we're generating. That's all ahead, and you're welcome to call in and comment at any time. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Dr. Paul LaRudy is with us now from the Free Gaza Movement. Their website, freegaza.org, has updates and even a photograph of one of the boats that they will be sailing. They're currently on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean. Paul, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Peter?
I am well. And you got your cell phone plugged in? My battery crapped out.
I sure do.
You got my sympathies.
Yes. It's been an interesting series of obstacles to overcome, and the battery on my cell phone is just one in a series.
Well, what are the more significant obstacles that you've been dealing with, Paul, as you bring these two ships together and prepare to sail to Gaza?
Yes, well, some of the obstacles are mechanical, such as with the generator on one boat, and I'm not sure what was on the second boat. They managed to get it solved before we arrived and joined them here. Mm-hmm. So it's really wonderful to see the two boats together, and we gave an opportunity to the press to come and look at the boats and photograph them all they wanted. Reuters apparently did some distribution. So tomorrow we're planning to set out for Cyprus,
mm-hmm.
and that's a longer journey than it will be from Cyprus to Gaza, so it's going to be an interesting ordeal.
So maybe 2 days from Crete to Cyprus, is that the idea?
Actually, 3 days.
3 days, okay. And so you expect, if weather and other factors cooperate, to be honing in on Gaza by the end of the week?
Well, we're sort of planning for Gaza on next Monday. We'll probably leave Cyprus on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe Sunday. If we leave on Sunday, then it'll be next Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great for us because we'll be able to follow your progress with our weekday phone calls here. And, Paul, I was just looking at the roster of the people who are on this expedition with you. It's an international group of activists, an 81-year-old Catholic nun from the United States, people from Scotland, Germany, Ireland, the United Kingdom, and people from Israel, too. This is a very interesting collection. And if you had to define what unites everyone, how would you describe that?
A real antipathy towards injustice. They all of the people here are very concerned with, I guess you could take Martin Luther King's dictum that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And that's really, to me, what unifies this group, that they care about that very deeply. And they're not willing to allow governments to have a monopoly on it. Making it happen. They are. It's been 60 years that governments have failed to produce any measure of success in the Middle East, and here we have all these people from all these nations, basically, for the most part, ordinary people who have decided that we can do something about it, and we're going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I applaud that kind of individual activism, and these are people who are taking some personal risk. You're not really sure what's going to happen when you arrive in Gaza. And so I really appreciate that there are people who are willing to stop shopping and maybe even put aside their vacation money for a year so that they could participate in an activist expression like this, Paul.
No, they're doing more than putting their vacation money aside. They're emptying their bank accounts, and we just had a meeting today. I said, you know, we might need a lot of money very quickly, so please be prepared to head down with your ATM or credit cards and empty your accounts as quickly as you possibly can if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, Paul, tell me a little bit, because we've got the Olympics drawing the attention of the media and now a conflict in Georgia that is producing a lot of headlines. Have you found that the media, not the American media, because we we don't expect too much from them, but are European and Middle Eastern outlets following your progress?
We found that they are. The media is sometimes impatient, but actually we think that the progress that we're making is you can see on our website that there are I haven't counted now, but maybe 50 or 60 different stories that have already been made about this, and we haven't even set out from Cyprus yet, so we're hopeful about this. Obviously, we're not the only story in the world, and not necessarily the most important one at any one time. But it's good to know that both the media, to some extent, and the public care about this issue enough that it draws attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we thank you for your interest in it, especially, and you are among the vanguard that is making this happen.
Well, I wish there were more of us, Paul, and I'm happy to do my part and help to get the message out. And as we wrap up here, is there a little anecdote or a story that you'd like to pass along that warmed your heart or that affirmed the mission that you've undertaken?
Well, there have been tensions among the group. But I want to say that we have had, you can say, lovers' quarrels, and we've come back together. And every one of these things, it really is gratifying to me to see people who care so passionately and who feel that a certain decision is still right, nevertheless are willing to make the compromises necessary to come up with something even better. And that's the spirit that characterizes this group here, that there's a lot of love going on amongst us, even as we struggle to come to grips with our very independently spirited people who are on board this ship.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, I commend you for that. Keep the love going. No mutinies. Let them know that Captain Collins has decreed there shall be no mutinies.
I will pass that along, Peter.
All right, Doctor. Good to talk with you, and we'll check in again tomorrow, same time.
Okay, take care.
All right. And if you want more information, the website has some updates. There are links to YouTube videos. There's a list of the international group that is on this expedition. And there is at least one photograph that I saw of one of the ships that will be making this historic trip from Cyprus to Gaza in the coming week. Again, that website is freegaza.org. Ari Melber joins me now. He writes for The Nation and other outlets. He's been covering the Obama campaign and also the Netroots issues. Hello, Ari. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Just fine. I'm glad you could join us. And you've been very busy. You're doing almost daily updates at The Nation. And you've got your own page up there at Washington, whatchamacallit?
Yes, the Washington Independent, which
there we
is a new media site from the Center for Independent Media. I'm going on the road with Obama for them.
Uh-huh. Now, did you get to go to the exotic location that Cokie Roberts thinks is in another nation to follow the Obama family on vacation?
I did not make it to the 50th state, which apparently Cokie Roberts has a grudge against that state, Hawaii.
And just exactly how does she consider it part of another country? I mean, it's been a state for, what, 45 years?
It's been a while. Whatever you can say about America's expansion, we've always taken in new territory and new people. And it's pretty galling, you know, that she's going on television yesterday and then going on the radio today and repeatedly criticizing Barack Obama for spending part of his deserved vacation. I think both candidates deserve a vacation after all of this. But she's spending, you know, in the U.S.
And she wants him to go to Myrtle Beach. Is that right?
That was her campaign strategy. And again, I think it's striking that she does this on ABC's This Week, a supposedly serious Sunday morning show. I mean, if this is the level of discourse on Sunday morning, then, you know, we might as well hang it up.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. Number one, I think both candidates deserve a vacation. It's going to be a grueling fall once the conventions are behind us. And we deserve a little vacation, too, and they timed the Olympics here to kind of, I mean, hardball's off for 2 weeks, countdown's off for 2 weeks, and in some ways, I'm kind of looking forward to the break.
It's nice. It's good, and obviously the only positive out of the stupidity of Cokie Roberts' comments is that nobody cares except to maybe point out that she's wrong, but I don't think she has any impact because most people are tuned out at this point, as you said.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a little break and come back. I found the page that I was looking for. The Washington Independent website is washingtonindependent.com, and Ari Melber has his own page there that has regular updates, so you can check that out. Also, thenation.com is where he posts his work on a regular basis. And as we continue, we're going to talk about some of those campaign commercials that have been flying around, and I've signed up to find out about Obama's VP pick, not by text message, but by email. I guess I'll get it behind the cell phone people. We'll go there as we continue with Ari Melber in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Well, John Edwards' fate is set. He'll be vice president of BRAC. continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Ari Melber with us from thenation.com, and you can also read his work at washingtonindependent.com. And briefly, Ari, on the John Edwards confession last week, my big question is, was he ever under serious contention for vice president or an appointment in an Obama administration? And haven't we learned that you can actually just blurt out the truth about these things, and it's a one-day story, but when you cover them up, it can be a career ender?
The best example, I think, of comparing the presidential run is Newt Gingrich, who, when he started seriously exploring a run in 2007, floated in a conversation with a Christian radio host the fact that he also had marital infidelity, something that, frankly, a lot of people already knew, but had never come directly out of his mouth. And that was his way of getting that out of the way if he was going to run. Ultimately, of course, he didn't. I think Senator Edwards, who I have tremendous respect for and who I don't think is necessarily compromised in the policy arena for one personal failing, would have been much better off to do that out the gate, obviously. And a lot of people believed in him and put their faith and trust and work for him on the understanding that he was fully vetted and ready to be president. Obviously, if he were the nominee right now, we'd be in a mess of trouble.
Yeah, we sure would. I want to move now to a commercial, a pushback from the Obama campaign that you have up at the WashingtonIndependent.com. And it even includes a citation from Ari Melber. We won't be able to hear that on the radio, but let's listen to the audio track.
For decades, he's been Washington's biggest celebrity.
John McCain.
And as Washington embraced him,
hugging Bush, hugging Bush,
back, the lobbyists running his low road campaign, the money, billions in tax breaks for oil and drug companies, but almost nothing for families like yours, lurching to the right, then the left, the old Washington dance, whatever it takes. A Washington celebrity playing the same old Washington games.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
So, Ari, in your commentary here, you do mention that this is a reactive message, and if it had hit within 24 hours of the McCain spots that accuse Obama of being only a celebrity, it might have had more impact. But this really seems like a Me Too kind of message.
I agree. I mean, that's what I wrote, and I think that what it suggests, the more interesting part for politicos, is that the Obama campaign, which is usually very strong in its messaging and very quick in the news cycle, really got caught groping for the proper response on this Paris Hilton stuff, partly because it was so combustible. I mean, the McCain campaign did a small ad buy, got a large reaction, and then who could have predicted that Paris herself would have jumped in? And I think the story in that respect got away from the Obama campaign. So here they are in a new week while he's on vacation. They're hitting back. They've got money behind this ad. It's a cable run, according to an aide I spoke with this morning. And they are pushing the attack right back and saying if anyone's a weak celebrity, it's John McCain. And there was a Politico article that talked about how he's made 30 appearances in late-night television shows and made cameos in movies like The Wedding Crashers, which is a sex-filled movie that it's kind of surprising he did, although I think he loves the attention that much. So finally, the Obama campaign's pushing that back out there.
And, Ari, we just have a minute remaining, but I wanted to ask your thoughts about what's going to happen in Denver related to Hillary Clinton and her PUMA supporters. Many of them want to at least go through the motions of having her name entered and having a roll call vote. Will the Obama team permit that?
I don't think it will happen. As I understand the rules, technically, it is up to the candidate to put their name into contention. So I think that if Hillary decides she wants to do that, technically no one can stop her, although there's all sorts of other levels of negotiation and pressure going on. I don't think it will happen. I haven't heard or seen a significant number of pledged delegates, the people actually showing up, talking about this. I mean, the fact that some supporter somewhere says it is not tantamount to a critical mass of such delegates. So I don't think it will happen. I think it is mostly a distraction.
All right. Ari, always great to talk with you. Thanks for checking in today, and we'll see you 2 weeks from today in Denver.
Got it. Thank you.
We'll be there. Ari Melber, read his work at thenation.com and also at washingtonindependent.com. And speaking of the convention, our live coverage 2 weeks from today, it's exclusive and you can help. Go to my website at peterbcollins.com and click on the link. You can help. Coming up next, Elizabeth Farnsworth, used to be on PBS, talks about General Pinochet.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Sam Litzinger, sitting in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. You know what would be cool, aside from having Warren Buffett adopt me? Being invisible. And you know what? Scientists think they may be able to make it happen. Maybe they already have. How would we know? More after this.
Why should you consider investing in gold today? Well, number one, it's simply a smart strategy. Many experts believe that adding gold to your portfolio may improve its performance. In fact, it's proven to give investors a 4-to-1 return over stocks the last 3 years alone. Number two, it's guaranteed. When you buy a stock, it's paper that can be worth $100 a share today and nothing tomorrow. When you invest in Gold American Eagles, you get the only gold coins whose weight, content, and purity are guaranteed by the U.S. government. And when you have Blanchard & Company on your side, you get a double guarantee because they guarantee to buy back your gold anytime you want to sell. So if you want proven performance and an asset that has been in demand for 3,000 years, call Blanchard & Company. They have a very special radio offer on Gold American Eagles right now. So call 888-730-GOLD. That's 888-730-GOLD. Don't wait. Call 888-730-GOLD.
Can't see me, can you? Maybe it's because I'm invisible. Or maybe it's because I'm on the radio, and unless you're here in the studio with me, I might as well be invisible. However, soon I may be standing right next to you, and I really would be invisible.
Space, the final frontier.
Remember how in the Star Trek series, the rotten Romulans, oh, how I hate them with their smug know-it-all attitude. The Romulans, and later the good guys, use something called a cloaking device to render their spaceships invisible. Well, the earthly equivalent of the Romulan scientists at the University of California, say for the first time they've been able to cloak three-dimensional objects using artificially engineered materials, metamaterials they're called, that, and this is the way cool part, redirect light around the objects so you can't see them. Huh? Okay, here's the physics lesson. People can see objects because objects scatter the light that strikes them, reflecting some of it back to the eye. Cloaking uses metamaterials to deflect radar, light, or other waves around an object, like water flowing around a smooth rock in a stream. Metamaterials are mixtures of metal and circuit board materials, such as ceramic, Teflon, or fiber composite, by the way.
Disengage cloaking shields.
Now, for you hardcore types, detailed information will be available in the journals Nature and Science. For the rest of us, start thinking about all the neato things you'd do if you were invisible. That's what the Pentagon is already doing. Invisible planes, invisible tanks, heck, invisible soldiers. Me, I plan to make myself scarce for household chores for the rest of my life. Where's Sam? We can't find him anywhere. The Osgood File. I'm Sam Litzinger on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bob Oliver with The Quantum Leap, 9 p.m. Saturdays. Chaos is order. You just need to know where to fit in. On The Quantum Leap, Saturdays, 9 p.m., KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We'll be right back. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
On the Peter B. Collins Show this half hour, we talk about an era that should never be forgotten. But Americans have very short-term memories, and our media really reinforces that. It's all about now. And we often don't take a moment to look at history, including sordid history, in order to learn and try to prevent these kinds of egregious things from occurring on our own watch. Elizabeth Farnsworth, for many years, reported for and anchored on the public television news hour, and she now is a filmmaker. And to her credit, The Judge and the General is about to be released, first into theaters and then on a PBS broadcast. Elizabeth Farnsworth, thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm glad to be here, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, you have chronicled a very important but difficult era in the history of the nation of Chile. And I'd like you to talk first about Judge Juan Guzman, because you profile him in a way that I think allows people to understand his history, because in some respects he was part of the oppression that the Pinochet government visited on the citizens of Chile. And I suppose as a matter of personal redemption in some ways, he was given the very difficult and life-threatening task of conducting an investigation that ultimately led to a Chilean indictment of General Pinochet.
You just captured in a nutshell what fascinated me about this person, this man, Judge Juan Guzman. And the film, as you said, is it's really a very present tense film, even though it covers events that occurred 30 years ago. It follows him. It's like a detective story. In Chile, judges investigate crimes as well as try criminals. And Judge Juan Guzman, as you said, was a pro-Pinochet judge. He opposed the democratically elected socialist president, Salvador Allende, who was elected in 1970 and then overthrown in a military coup with U.S. help, or at least he was destabilized with U.S. help. And the coup came in 1973. And Judge Guzman came from a conservative family, his father was a poet and a diplomat, but they were conservatives, and he supported the Pinochet coup. And then he's tapped by judicial lottery to investigate the crimes. And the film really goes with him as he descends into what he calls the abyss of his investigation, and we watch him change.
And what were the risks to him personally as he took this on? Because Pinochet, while he was elderly and fading, clearly retains a lot of support in Chile.
He does. And Judge Guzman, he was assigned the cases in 1998. He could have turned them down. He did not turn them down. You hear in the film, as you know, from human rights attorneys and others who say that when he was appointed, they thought nothing would happen. But in fact, like many judges, he was a serious person. He was a good judge. And this case, even though he had been pro-Pinochet for a long time, he took it on as a serious commitment. And as soon as he started to really uncover events and begin to charge some of Pinochet's top people with crimes, it did become very dangerous for him. You see in the film that he's often with a bulletproof vest. His detectives are, too. He had round-the-clock bodyguards. Sometimes he had as many as 8 or 10 bodyguards in his home. He was operated on in the hospital, and he woke up, and at one point he said there were, I forget the exact number, like 30 bodyguards around, and that's because they had a threat that he'd be killed in the hospital. So he took considerable risks to do this.
And one reason for that, as you depict repeatedly in the film, is that he was very much a hands-on investigator. You see him exhuming the bodies of victims and piecing together their remains and speculating about what kinds of injuries they sustained or what actually caused their deaths. I mean, this was a forensic matter where you don't expect a judge, prosecutor, or investigator, at least not in American terms, to be that deeply involved.
Yes. As you said, you actually see him handling the remains when he's trying to figure out whether somebody was actually shot or killed in a car accident, which was the official story. We center on a couple of cases, and you see a lot of detail with each case, which is why some people have called it a classic detective story.
Mm-hmm.
He was hands-on. He said, somebody asked him that question the other night at a screening, and he said that it isn't unusual for judges to do that in Chile, that they tend to be hands-on. And in his case, he allowed us to film. Much of our material was embargoed until the case ended. But he did allow the press to watch him sometimes because he felt, once he got deeply into these cases, that Chileans had been lied to for so long about what happened that he wanted them to see him investigating so that they'd see that the judiciary was working again and that it was possible to find out what happened to people who were killed and to some of the people, some of the many, many people who were disappeared, which, as you know, was one of the big problems and terrible things that happened in Chile because people were disappeared never to be found. There are still more than 1,300 disappeared people who haven't been found in Chile, and for their own families, it means they can't stop mourning.
I only speak a little Spanish, but los desaparecidos, right?
Desaparecidos, right.
Desaparecidos?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that became a very common term. And describe that, because, you know, many of us think about this in such an abstract way, Elizabeth Farnsworth, but if you imagine coming home from work tonight, and your spouse or son or daughter is gone, and you have no indication.
Yes.
You really don't know what happened. It's just they are gone, and when you contact the authorities, you put yourself at greater risk because you're drawing attention to the fact that these people are missing, and then it's a labyrinth that you approach and a real mind-numbing process.
It's a good description, Peter. It's what happened. And not only, I mean, think of this. You come home, maybe your daughter's disappeared. You go to visit your daughter. She's 20, 25. Most everybody was between 20 and 30. They were involved in the opposition to Pinochet in some cases, even just a kind of low-level violent opposition to his dictatorship. But most of the people were not violent. You can't find where they are, but by chance, perhaps one person is released from the secret prison where she's being held. And that person comes to you and says, at such and such an address, they are torturing people to death right now. You go in to the courts, you ask for, you go in with a habeas corpus petition, you ask, this person needs to be presented to the court and the court needs to know why they're being detained. And everybody denies that they're such a prisoner, that there's such a prison, that anybody's ever been detained. They would say, oh, she took off with her lover and went to Europe. And then if you never find this person, and this is what drove Judge Guzman crazy as he went into this investigation, this is what made him so desperate for the families and wanted to help them. No family member they have no closure. They can never stop mourning. They can't really even adequately mourn because they don't know what happened. And he did find out what happened to some of the disappeared, not as many as he wanted to, but he certainly indicted people for disappearing people.
And what about the networks of soldiers and other government officials who knew what was going on, were party to it, at least the process? They may not have made a decision that this person, okay, is a suspect and therefore we will take them to a secret prison and torture them. But certainly there was an identifiable circle of people who knew about it and either did nothing to stop it or were actively involved in the process of detaining, torturing, and disappearing people. How did Judge Guzman deal with the downstream complicity, if you will?
Well, that's a really good question because you're talking partly, I mean, everybody talks about in situations of military dictatorship, the people that, if anybody gets tried, it tends to be the military people. And you're talking about some of the civilians who went along and even played either a passive or a very active role in the repression. And Judge Juan Guzman does talk about this. And he did charge some of those people. And I think it's one of the reasons he wanted to be more public than some of the judges usually are, because he wanted to make it clear. And this, by the way, is what obsesses me and why I wanted to make this film. He wanted to make it clear that too many people didn't stand up and say no. And he was a very small part of that group of people in that he was a young judge. And in Chile, some of the young judges are brought into the Court of Appeals when there are a lot of cases. They're called rapporteurs. They go through the evidence and summarize it for the higher judges. And so when those habeas corpus petitions came in, he would summarize the evidence. He'd call the head of the secret police and say, this person claims that her daughter's being held in Jose Domingo Caña's secret detention center. Is she? And then he'd hear from the Minister of Justice, there's a civilian. He'd hear from the head of the secret police. He'd hear from a whole group of people, no, there's no such place. None of this is true. He'd take the evidence to the Court of Appeals judges, and then they would say, deny that habeas corpus petition. You write it, we'll sign it. So what he says in the film is, I wrote a lot of those, not a lot, some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And he regrets it terribly. But he says, I was a very low, I never signed them, I had no power of decision. I was a very low member of, you know, the judiciary at that point. And if somebody else hadn't done it, if I hadn't done it, somebody else would. Well, I'm obsessed with those decisions. When does somebody stand up and say, you can kill me, I'm not going to do this? And there are many people in the film, by the way, that did that, who you meet, as you know, as well as Judge Guzman. And then if somebody did, even in a small way, participate in the repression, when do they decide that's it and totally change, which is what you see in the film?
We're talking with Elizabeth Farnsworth, the co-producer of this new film, The Judge and the General. And I have a list here of Bay Area dates. Tuesday, August 12th at the Elmwood Theater in Berkeley, two screenings. August 14th at the Roxy Cinema in San Francisco's Mission District. That's 7 and 9 p.m. And then in San Rafael in Marin County on the 17th of August, and that is a single screening at 7 p.m. So those are some of the initial screenings. And then when will PBS be broadcasting the documentary?
The documentary will be broadcast on the 19th of August, and it's on the PBS documentary series called POV, Point of View.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually on at 9 or 10 o'clock. I think it's on at 10 in San Francisco, for example, on KQED that night. But everybody should check their local listings, because in some places it's Pledge and they're running it on a slightly different night.
Okay. Yes, do check those local listings, because it gets too complicated for all the different stations in the different areas that we cover. John in Carmel Valley is calling. Welcome, John. You're on the air with Elizabeth Farnsworth.
I know that Henry Kissinger is reputed to have had probably a major role in Salvador Allende's assassination, and my question is, how big was that role, and was it bigger even than Nixon? Did Nixon just simply leave the whole affair to Kissinger and stay out of it, or was Nixon aware and approving of everything, all the major details of that pretty grisly thing?
Well, it's a good question. I don't think that there's any evidence that they were directly involved in Allende's death. And as you know, there's some dispute over whether he committed suicide, which most people believe he did, or whether he was killed by the military. But there's no dispute about the Kissinger-Nixon role in the destabilization of Allende and preparing the way for the coup. And the best thing about this is that you can read declassified U.S. documents. They're online at the National Security Archive or in the National Archives of the United States. The Clinton administration released thousands of documents. They're partially, in some cases you still can't read all of them, they're partially redacted, but you can read a lot. And the evidence the discussions that Kissinger and Nixon had, the decisions that they made, the decision to destabilize, the decision to have a credit blockade, the decision to send guns to try to kill the head of the armed forces who was a constitutionalist, and they were hoping that if they could kill him, they could promote a coup. Kissinger said in the last minute they called that one off, but he was in fact killed. So all this is in documents from the U.S. government. It's not a matter of dispute. It's really well chronicled, John.
Another question, if you would. How closely did Pinochet work with those Argentinian generals in throwing anybody they had a suspicion of, if they captured, they often would just take them up in airplanes and throw them bodily out of the planes? And I think I read somewhere that Pinochet was involved with them in that. Is that true?
Well, there's, John Dinges has a wonderful book about Operation Condor, and that's what you're talking about. I'm not an expert on this question, but I recommend the declassified documents and John Dinges, D-I-N-G-E-S's book on this. It's called Condor. and various intelligence agencies in Latin America, including the Argentine and Chilean agencies, cooperated and basically were involved in rendition. They sent prisoners from place to place for torture and killing.
Mm-hmm. John, thanks a lot for checking in today. Elizabeth Farnsworth is with us. The PBS special that will be screened first in theaters is called The Judge and the General. If you go to westwindproductions.org, you can see the trailer and get more information on this powerful documentary. That's westwindproductions.org. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Folks, to know more about today's opportunity in gold, call 888-302-7111 for Lear's Complete Gold Investment Kit. It's free with no obligation. The investment kit will show you how easy gold is to buy and sell, even how to own gold in your IRA or retirement account. And be sure to look for our top recommendations. Call 888-302-7111 now, and you'll also get our latest CD titled Why Gold Has Never Been Worth Zero, but Could Double in Price Again. That's a $29 value, absolutely free. Folks, for 5 years, gold investments have been consistent winners, outperforming stocks by 500%, and experts say this bull market has just begun. Some expect gold to rise over $2,000 an ounce. Remember, in today's uncertain markets, gold is the only investment that has a 5,000-year history and has never been worth zero. Compare that to other alternatives in today's economy. Call 888-302-7111 today. The Gold Investment Kit, our top recommendations, and the CD Why Gold Has Never Been Worth Zero but Could Double in Price Again. Materials are free, but supplies are limited. Call 888-302-7111 now.
8 minutes before the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're talking with Elizabeth Farnsworth, a former anchor and correspondent for the PBS NewsHour and co-producer of a powerful film about the judge and the general. It takes you through the investigation of the massive killings and disappearances that occurred under General Pinochet in Chile and Judge Juan Guzman, who was charged with investigating that many years later. And Elizabeth, I'm curious if you're familiar with the work of Naomi Klein and her book Shock Doctrine?
I haven't read the book, but I do know who she is, and I've read reviews.
Mm-hmm. Well, I recommend it to you because it really is fascinating in the way it takes a look at the way the U.S. has intervened in countries like Chile at very difficult times, at crisis points. She coined the term disaster capitalism. And it's fascinating to see the way some of these themes of torture and disappearance, long-term detention of those who spoke out against the dictatorship were replicated. And it comes full circle to some of the techniques that we have used at Guantanamo and other U.S. detention centers and the overall policy of dealing with these kinds of detainees. Now, I hasten to add that I'm not accusing the Bush administration of the same level of torture and disappearance of our own citizens, but we do know that the U.S. has used torture, and the long-term detentions that we've seen at Guantanamo and elsewhere I find very troubling. Do you see that down the road we're going to have truth commissions or a Judge Guzman whose job is to expose the serious wrongdoing of an American administration?
You know, I've been very interested in Judge Guzman's answer to these questions, and everywhere that we've shot with him where there were questions and answers with whatever country we were in, Spain or America or Chile, people ask that question, what's the relevance of what you did and really what others also did to bring Pinochet to justice for the United States? And what Judge Guzman usually says, which I think is pretty interesting, is that if you make decisions in secret which involve illegal actions by treaty and international law like torture or rendition or secret prisons, that it damages democracy, and this is what he learned in his investigation in Chile, and that for the democracy to become strong again, which is really what's happening in Chile now, it's coming back after, and, you know, pretty strongly from the Pinochet years, then you have to have accountability. And I think that's why some of the human rights organizations like Human Rights Watch and others have called for investigations into who made the decisions about torture and why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next administration, whoever wins, whether there will be any accountability.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that myself. And I, you know, don't want to see America dragged through anything more than necessary. At the same time, I want to know the truth, and I think that we need to expose the truth in order to move forward and offer recognition to those who have been harmed and those who identify with people who have been harmed, because as we see, these tactics do harden the opposition and take people, as you show in the film, these were rather innocent labor activists and people who believed in the socialist agenda of Salvador Allende. And I don't think particularly in the beginning most of them thought that their lives were on the line.
Well, you know, and it's interesting that you say it hardens the opposition. It also can destroy the people that are asked to take part in any of these tactics.
Mm.
I heard somebody who was at Abu Ghraib and had to be part of some very tough interrogations, and he was speaking at Cal, and nobody asked him for the longest time. He just talked about what he saw and what he was forced to do and what he learned. He was in the Army, and I asked him, what happened to you? What's happened to you since then? And he said, well, I had a nervous breakdown. And in the film, you see there's somebody who was on one of the helicopters. He was a crew chief in the Army, and he was not in the secret police, but in the Army he had to take part in helping the secret police dump those bodies off the helicopter. He's a man that destroyed by what he saw. He had to leave the Army. He couldn't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So it destroys all the people, that many of the people that are involved with it, aside from the victims.
Elizabeth Farnsworth, you traveled the world for PBS, certainly were intrigued by many stories. Why was this so different that it appears you've devoted 3 years or more to developing, producing, and distributing this film?
Well, I had been to Chile. I got a master's degree at Stanford in Latin American history, and I pretty much immediately knew I wanted to be in journalism. And one of the first jobs I got was as an assistant producer on a documentary-feature film in Chile in 1970. It had both documentary and acting sequences in it. And we were there for 4 months during the time that Allende was elected, and then the right wing and the U.S. tried to prevent his inauguration, and then he was inaugurated. And then I went back and wrote a lot about Chile. So when the coup came, I knew people on both sides. One of our cameramen was killed after the coup in one of the secret prisons. And I knew other people who were killed. And I also knew very good people from Chile who supported Pinochet because of the chaos of the Allende years. And I've pretty much been obsessed with it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I've written about it, and I've wanted to make a film, but I didn't have the right way in until I met by chance at an event sponsored by the Center for Human Rights at the University of California, Berkeley, Judge Juan Guzman. And mm-hmm. I thought, because he'd been a Pinochet supporter, and he's a very interesting character, as people will see when they see the film.
Yeah.
I thought he was the perfect way to tell this story. I thought people could hear from him as he changed in a way that they couldn't hear from a leftist telling this story.
It's very powerful, and I appreciate the way you put the film together and let Judge Guzman really speak for himself in most respects.
Thank you.
The Judge and the General, the website to support it, westwindproductions.org. Look for it on your PBS station starting on August 19th, the POV series. My thanks to Elizabeth Farnsworth.
Thank you, Peter.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Russian forces push deep into Georgia.
These actions have substantially damaged Russia's standing in the world.
Oil falls to a three-month low.
It's all about the U.S. dollar.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Just back from China, President Bush delivered a strongly worded statement from the White House this afternoon. He said Russia has embarked on a dramatic and brutal escalation of the fighting in Georgia.
Russia's government must respect Georgia's territorial integrity and sovereignty. The Russian government must reverse the course it appears to be on.
Mr. Bush said there are signs Russian forces are preparing to bomb the civilian airport in the Georgian capital, Tbilisi, and might try to remove the democratically elected president, Mikhail Saakashvili.
We are in a process of destruction of world order as it was established after the end of the Cold War.
He spoke to Britain's Sky News today as the Russians attacked the town of Gori. Sky reporter Alex Rossi says Georgian forces have dug in for battle.
The town of Gori today, we saw a lot of tanks moving back to try and secure positions, and there are a number of artillery stations and tanks disguised into bunkers and camouflaged that would try and repel Russian forces if they did come in.
CBS News reporter Beth Noble has the story from Moscow.
Russia says it has no plans to advance all the way to the Georgian capital, Tbilisi, and says its mission inside Georgia is still bent on peacekeeping. But Russian troops have now advanced into Georgia proper, and reports say they're moving deeper. And envoys from the United States and Europe are stepping up their efforts to broker a peace deal. The French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, will visit the region tomorrow to try his hand at stopping the violence. Beth Noble, CBS News, Moscow.
Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, talking to reporters in Moscow, accused the United States of making the situation worse.
It's a pity that some of our partners, instead of helping us, are getting in the way. I mean the transport assistance that the U.S. provided with their military aircraft in taking Georgian troops from Iraq to the conflict zone.
And he sarcastically accused President Bush of applying a double standard. Saddam Hussein ought to have been hanged for destroying several Shiite villages, Putin said. And the incumbent Georgian leaders who razed 10 Ossetian villages at once, these leaders must be taken under protection. Now this.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092.
That's 800-536-9092.
800-536-9092.
This month, take a drive to Sears and get your car ready for the rest of those summer road trips at the Sears National Automotive Sale. Now through August 30th, come into the Sears Auto Center, where all Goodyear and Michelin tires are on sale. Plus, buy a set of four Goodyear tires and get $20, $40, or $50 cash back after mail-in rebate. Or buy a set of four Michelin tires and get free installation after mail-in rebate. That's a $56 value. So come into the Sears Auto Center and live like it's summer. Sears.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer valid 8308 to 8308.
It was just a month ago that crude oil topped $147 a barrel. Today, it's settled in New York at $114.45. James Cordier of OptionSellers.com says we can thank $4 a gallon gasoline.
That level cured high prices, both in the United States as well as in Europe. Demand is down some 4 to 5%.
And the U.S. dollar is stronger, has more purchasing power. Bharavesh Nariman of Global Insight Consultants has watched it rally against the euro since last week.
The growth numbers coming out of Europe look pretty awful, whereas the U.S. had positive growth in the second quarter. Many of the European countries have had negative growth, and so that's a downer, if you will, for the euro, and good news in some sense for the dollar.
Health insurance is going to be more expensive next year.
Medical plan costs are expected to go up around 10.5%.
Bill Sharon of Aon Consulting, which surveyed about 70 health insurers.
Pharmacy costs are increasing at about the same pace as cost increases in physician services and hospital services.
A 10.5% increase is an improvement. Last year's forecast was 10.9%. In 2002, it was 16%. You say you've never had trouble getting a loan? You might now. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv explains.
The Federal Reserve says it asked 50 banks. They make up most of the residential mortgage market and found a major trend. Lending standards have become tougher. It's harder to get a loan, even if you're a prime customer with fine credit, at 3 out of 4 banks. A large majority also tightened standards for credit cards.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Despite the current economy, you can still drive a safe, luxurious, well-engineered car. Because right now, Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned sales event with deals as low as 1.99% APR on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a rigorous 155-point inspection. So you know you're getting a true 100% Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. See your authorized dealer today for certified affordability. But hurry, our CPO sales event ends soon. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 financed on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, we'll get some instant commentary on the crisis in Georgia. No, not the one with the Allman Brothers, the one that used to be part of the Soviet Union. In about a half hour, Alexander Melish, Melikashvili will join us from the Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute. Melikashvili. I got to get it right. But first, a man whose name doesn't really twist my tongue, Cliff Schechter. He returns to our program. He's the author of The Real McCain. Cliff, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you doing?
Not too bad. And just wanted to start off here with a letter that was mailed out by one of my listeners who writes prolific letters to the editor, always brief and pithy. With violence breaking out between Russia and Georgia, it raises the question if we can afford to take a chance electing a president who has shown poor judgment on foreign policy. John McCain was wrong on the Iraq War, and even to this day has yet to admit that he made a mistake in supporting Bush's war. We live in a dangerous world, and we can't take a chance electing people who think like Bush. We need to vote for someone who gets it right the first time, rather than someone who is experienced in getting it wrong. I'm Mark Perkel, and I approve this message. He signs off that way every time. And I think that's an interesting point. We're not quite hearing that from the Obama campaign.
No, or the Democrats in general. And I just, it sometimes kills me that they don't think in longer-term strategy and think more in sort of a short-term tactics. You know, when the Republicans come out with something like the whole silly tire gauge thing, mm-hmm. which you may remember, a week or two ago, their surrogates are echoing it. Their pundits, you know, get the talking points and are echoing it. And they're really doing this, you know, you hear it from sort of everywhere.
And then the candidate weighs in and lets all the air out.
Well, yeah, that's because they happen to have a pretty silly candidate who obviously has trouble learning his notes and eating at the same time,
mm-hmm.
or at least solid food. But what should be happening here is they should be pointing out constantly how error-prone and ridiculous John McCain is on foreign policy. He got Iraq wrong the first time. He's made these sung bellicose and silly songs about bombing Iran. He's got advisors who think we should bomb Syria. He, in the past, has made inflammatory statements about kicking, isolating Russia. This is a constant thing with him. So, also in North Korea, he really is somebody who we don't want in to be in power in this position, you know, when we're in this kind of a position. And they need to be echoing this constantly and challenging him on 9/11. I mean, when he gave that silly speech about predicting what a future McCain administration would look like, presumptuous, one could call it.
Mm-hmm.
That Osama bin Laden would be captured. They should have, people should have immediately responded, what planet are you living on? We've tried it your way now for how many years, and Osama bin Laden's still out there, obviously. They've failed on every foreign policy, by every measure. So, there you go.
Well, and the Obama campaign is pushing back now. There is a negative spot that was released over the last couple of days. And one of the other interesting things that I want to mention before we go to this spot, Cliff, is that over the weekend I snuck a few peeks at the Olympic coverage. And at least on my Bay Area station, the NBC-owned station that carries the Olympics, they're actually running the McCain spot that hits Obama for being a celebrity and he'll raise your taxes. And I was a little surprised because all the spots that we've seen, the celebrity one, the Paris Hilton, Britney Spears one, they didn't put any money behind that. They just made the commercials, delivered them to the media for what we call free media, and they got loads of it. But they are actually putting some bucks behind at least the one commercial that I saw a couple of times over the weekend.
Well, let's say quickly before you play it, that's about what I was talking about before, about echoing a theme. Earlier, they got free media on sort of pushing the theme of Obama as a vacuous celebrity, and now they're putting the actual buy behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so here is a TV spot that is called Embrace from the Obama campaign, and I will count the number of times they show John McCain hugging George W. Bush as we listen to the audio track here.
For decades, he's been Washington's biggest celebrity.
John McCain!
And as Washington embraced him, John McCain hugged right back.
Three.
The lobbyists running his low-road campaign. The money. Billions in tax breaks for oil and drug companies, but almost nothing for families like yours. Lurching to the right, then the left. The old Washington dance, whatever it takes.
Four.
A Washington celebrity playing the same old Washington games.
Oh, five.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
They have a late-breaking fifth embrace. It's not quite the full bear hug.
And did you count something else in there? How many times they use the word Washington?
Yeah.
Which is five times also. Well,
but Washington is broken. I'm getting confused here. Who says it's broken? It's the McCain campaign, right?
Right, but the guy that's been there for 26 years and has voted 100% with Bush this year and has like 150 lobbyists involved in his campaign in some way or another is going to be the guy to fix it.
Well, come on, Cliff. Everybody wants to be the outsider. Are you going to deny John McCain just because of 26 years as an inside-the-beltway guy?
Yeah, he didn't get the memo. If he would just buy a fake ranch and put on a cowboy hat and start kicking brush around, then maybe he could have gotten away with it, you know?
Well, you've told me he's got 9 properties. Isn't one of them a fake ranch?
Yeah, I think the Sedona one. You'd think he could have turned at least 2 or 3 of those properties into different ranches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or perhaps some other sort of populist-themed. Maybe he could also be a farmer at one of them. That would be kind of nice.
Right.
Maybe
set
up a manufacturing plant, put on a hard hat, another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause he's a real man of the people, because I know a lot of people around here wear $500 shoes.
Well, we're still waiting for the McCains to pay their taxes here in California because we're broke and we don't have a budget.
That's right. If they would just pay their taxes, the budget would probably be all cleared up in California.
I want to thank Ed in Aptos who forwarded me a copy of this spot, which is from, it's no longer available. Don't you hate that? They embed a video in an email, and I just played it earlier today. But apparently the MoveOn people have dropped it from the server. And what it is it shows McCain piping up about energy policy, and then it repeatedly shows his empty chair in the Senate chamber with an arrow saying McCain's chair, because while he has hectored the Congress and said that he wants them to be there working this August and that as president he'll order them to work during August, it's kind of amusing because he hasn't been there during January, February, March, April.
Yeah, I want to say that he's missed something like 300 votes. I could be wrong about that number, so maybe I shouldn't be saying it. But he's missed some unbelievably inordinate amount of votes. He just literally hasn't been there. And here we are, taxpayers, paying him as if he needs the money to do a job. You know, we assume he should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not doing it. I wish he would take the Bob Dole plan and just leave.
Yeah.
Because somehow, I'm not saying Obama's doing a perfect job of being there, but certainly compared to McCain, he is.
Mm-hmm.
At least he's showing up for some votes.
Right. Hey, Katrina, could you go to YouTube and do a search for McCain's Bluff and Move On, see if you could find that, and maybe we can play it in the next segment. And Ed, who sent that to me, is on the line right now, propitiously. Hello, Ed.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I just had a kind of a question. Maybe it's not germane to Carton Power, but I was thinking that it'd be great if Move On could, or maybe you could work with Move On and get an audio portion of that, the same thing, the same content, mm-hmm. but just, well, let me back up.
A radio version you're thinking of?
Yeah, because some of the stuff is visual, because it's written word, which you have to have the video to understand. Mm-hmm. So if you just played the audio, you'd just hear half the half of the input or half of the thing, and it would really, granted that the video is much more, has much more impact because it shows the empty seat and things like that, but it's mm-hmm. stuff that is geared towards the video. But I think the central message of the thing is great, and it, you know, gets it said in a very terse fashion, which
Well, you know, I support drilling under John McCain's chair because, well, he's not there. He won't be in the way.
That's true. You know that no one's going to get hurt if you drill under his chair. There are no risks that I can think of.
But hopefully you can get it up, and maybe you can embellish it a little bit more than I could.
Yeah, we'll try to do that in the next segment here after the break, Ed. And let me just ask you what your thoughts are, because the Public Policy Institute here in California, which has a pretty good polling operation, they published one about 9 days ago that shows that now 51% of Californians, including a healthy portion of people who identify as Democrats, support lifting the ban on offshore drilling. Now, the cost at the pump has come down. I filled up for $4.05 last night. That's the lowest I've seen in quite a while. How do you think this is going to play out, Ed? Do we have people who are responding to the high price of gas by saying, oh, drill off the coast, I never go there anywhere. Anyway.
That's, to me, it's that they're not paying attention, and they're listening to the sound bites, and they're not going anywhere deeper than the sound bite where it says, well, drill and we'll lower the gas prices. Well, they don't, you know, they're not getting the big picture, if you will.
Well, I agree. It's
the corporate media that's just forcing this down the American public's throat.
Well, that's a very important point, because the media is not really pointing out what you just did, that we could drill, drill, and drill, but it won't produce a significant amount. And that's the real story behind the tire pressure gauges that the McCain campaign is trying to distract us from. What Obama said was simple and accurate, that we could drill offshore and we could drill in Anwar, and we would not produce as much oil as we could tomorrow by checking our inflation and our tune-ups. And Cliff, this is one of those distractomatic Rove moves that the Republicans have used very effectively, and I'm concerned that this one is working right now.
Yeah, well, at least if it's working on anybody, it's a shame. I mean, that's the thing, and I would even go pre-Rove and say this is the kind of stuff they're brilliant at, which and Democrats have always been too slow to have an operation up and running and ready to respond immediately. It's, you know, if George W. Bush didn't show up for service, well, John Kerry didn't earn his medals. You know, let's take your attention over there. Or, you know, we didn't catch Osama bin Laden. It's Iraq's fault, and we can take care of it by bombing and invading Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, you know, a way they can take your attention away from the actual issue at hand through policy, campaigning, or both. I would say bad policy and campaigning or both, so that people are distracted. Because as you just said, if we were to start drilling for oil in all the places they want to drill tomorrow, there'd be a negligible impact, and we really wouldn't see anything for another 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's not going to lower gas prices right now.
Cliff Schechter's with us. The Real McCain is his book. It's out there in soft cover under $15. You got to buy it. We're going to take a break and return. Your calls and comments welcome here about McCain. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. right here on KRXA 540.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you in Monterey. New crash northbound Highway 1 before 218. Three cars. All the activity is in the center divide, and CHP is on the way. Northbound 1 after Rio Del Mar Boulevard, we have a motorcycle broken down. It's in the center divide, and CHP is on the scene. You may see some delays there. People kind of slowing down to check that out. Carmel Rancho Lane at Carmel Rancho Boulevard, an accident. Two cars there that may have actually pulled into a nearby parking lot, so shouldn't create much of a problem for you there. Highway 17 southbound past the Redwood Estates, we had reports of a broken-down truck towing a trailer, and it had the right lane blocked for well over an hour, so still looking at some heavy traffic. South 17 as you approach the area. Highway 68, no stalls and no accidents, and this is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org, who reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet, because the fight against global warming has just begun. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Cliff Schechter's with us, the author of The Real McCain. And, Cliff, the actual count of missed votes for Senator McCain is 407.
I was giving him way too much credit.
And my thanks to an emailer named Rev Spasm, who went to the Washington Post to get that info for us. So,
well, thank you, too, for helping clear that up. I wouldn't want to undersell it by 25%.
All right, now let's listen to at least part of this move-on spot.
Is there anybody that wants to become energy independent?
Sure, who doesn't, the screen says.
Your Congress just went on vacation for 5 weeks. Tell them to come back and get to work.
Yeah, work.
Tell them to get to work.
Work, John? You've been absent for more votes than any other senator.
Get to work.
You've missed the two key energy votes last year. Empty chair.
Come back and get to work.
You missed the vote to support renewable energy. You missed the vote to repeal big oil tax breaks that would go to alternative energy.
Tell them to come back and get to work.
Both key energy bills were defeated, and you were absent again.
President of the United States, I'm not
going to
let him go on vacation.
You tell him, John. Paid for by MoveOn.org. Political action not authorized by any candidate. Your mileage will be lower. Please fasten your seatbelts. All right, so that's that one. And let's see, we've got Dave on the line from Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air with Cliff Schechter.
Hi, Peter. Cliff, I have to wonder how any good reporter like yourself who wants to expose the real McCain stays so clear of the subject of the Keating Five and the small part he had to play in one of the biggest rip-off frauds, the Savings and Loan rip-off, because to me that says so much about the man. Why do we not dabble in that subject?
Well, Cliff, let me weigh in first, because, Dave, you haven't had a chance to read Cliff's book. But, in fact, he uncovered an interesting connection that I didn't know about, and I followed the Keating Five story via Alan Cranston and my old buddy Charlie Keating in real time during the 1980s. And that was that Cindy McCain was an investor in a shopping mall in Phoenix with Charlie Keating. So, with that, you go ahead, Cliff.
Well, I was going to say, no, I mean, you know, there's... Dave, there, in all honesty, there's so much on McCain and so many reasons why he's not fit to be president of the United States. His temperament, his connection to lobbyists, and many other things that you're right, I can't speak about the Keating Five all the time, but as Peter points out, it's a big part of my book, and on many, who knows how many radio programs and television programs I've gone on when that's been the topic, or when we've just been talking about the McCain's corruption in general, I have spoken as much about that as I can, because I think of that is a theme for McCain's career later on. You know, he there are other cases where we found out later with that New York Times article, whether he had an affair with Vicki Eisen or not, I don't really care. What I do care is that he pressured regulators on her behalf,
mm-hmm.
Her client's behalf, Paxson Communications. Well, that sounds a lot like what he did with the Keating Five, doesn't it?
Yeah, let me stop you there, because I want to, and Dave, I thank you for the question, and let me play this one called The One. You just sent us the link. This is on the McCain website, and this is another slam on Barack Obama. Let's listen. Clicking. Well, maybe I need to click here. Here we go.
You've seen him in London, Paris, and Berlin. Now, you too can join the Ones Fan Club right here in America.
If you think Elvis or the Beatles have come to town.
This is amazing. I almost felt like crying when he signed it.
The perks are amazing. Like a tax increase for everyone earning more than $42,000 a year. He's a rock star.
Oh, I'd say he's at the level of Bono for me.
All right, that's all we have time for. It's a minute long. That means it'll never run on network television.
It's just another in their attempts. Remember, McCain was going to run an honorable campaign about the issue.
Yeah. So how does this work to belittle Obama and just try to make him out to be a cheesy celebrity? I mean, what does the polling show them that this is effective, Cliff?
I'm guessing that there's no, I'm not going to go beyond guessing. To me, there's no doubt there's a racial component to this.
Yeah.
That they're hoping they'll appeal to certain people that view Obama in that sort of presumptuous, as mm-hmm. I brought up before, or I would sadly say uppity.
Right.
That he's beyond his station and isn't qualified, and mm-hmm. that was why the coordinated attack by McCain on affirmative action recently, which of course is...
Gotta go. Cliff Schechter, thank you much. Talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, Peter. Bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another war. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Just when Iraq is looking up, just as China unveils its philosophy of world peace through precisely coordinated mass drumming, we get news of war in the Georgian Republic. Russia is taking over a part of Georgia which it says is full of Russians who'd rather be in Russia. The Georgians, of course, consider them rebels. And so once again, we have to assert American values. We have to ask, is it ever okay to take a piece of some other nation by force? Well, let's see. In 1835, in a part of Mexico called Tejas, a group of rebels, including one Davy Crockett, fought to secede from Mexico. What did we do? We annexed it and renamed it Texas, and then forced Mexico at gunpoint to sell us California, Nevada, Utah, most of Arizona, and parts of Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico. Then in 1898, we took the former Spanish colonies of Cuba and the Philippines, which we mostly gave back, and Guam and Puerto Rico, which we mostly kept. Then we overthrew leaders in Iran, Chile, Guatemala, Panama, and of course, Iraq. This is going to be a tough one. Okay, let's hear what our UN ambassador had to say today.
We want to make sure our Russian colleagues understand that the days of overthrowing leaders by military means...
Is he about to say what I think he's about to say?
The days of overthrowing leaders by military means in Europe, those days are gone.
Okay, in Europe, those days are gone. So it's still all right to overthrow leaders in the Middle East and South America. That was close. Now this.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W.
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust.
W.
Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 15848 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 15848 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 15848 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell, putting the service back in service stations. Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself. Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Take a look at the former Soviet Republic of Georgia and the conflict underway there. As the world is absorbed in the Olympic competition in Beijing, China, a conflict has erupted in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, and it is a little complicated. I have to say that I'm learning quite a bit about this, but there is a region in the nation of Georgia called South Ossetia, and they have been semi-autonomous since Georgia separated from the Soviet Union in the early 1990s. But they retain ties to Russia, and this is playing out as a serious conflict between Russia and the embattled government of Georgia. And the United States is so far taking the side of Georgia and has been lecturing the Russians, including apparently some one-on-one diplomacy there in Beijing, from Bush to Putin. To get commentary, we often turn to people who know much more than your humble host. Alexander Melikashvili joins us from the Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute, and some of their funding comes from our friends at the Plowshares Fund in San Francisco. Alexander Melikashvili, I've been working on this. Melikashvili, welcome, sir, to our program today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's quite all right. It's difficult to pronounce.
It is. Melikashvili. That second S is silent there.
No, actually, you did it very good. Melikashvili, yeah.
Melikashvili, okay. Well, thank you. And tell me first up your reaction to this, which is breaking this afternoon, which is that President Bush has said that Russia may be seeking to depose the government in Georgia. He has returned from the Olympic Games, and speaking at the White House on Monday, he described this as unacceptable from the American point of view.
Yes, that's quite correct. You're quite correct. Today at 5:15, President Bush made a statement on the situation in Georgia, and this was at the Rose Garden, and he basically outlined the position of the U.S. administration, which is that Russia's action in Georgia is unacceptable in the 21st century because it threatens the democratically elected government of Georgia, and the use of force has been disproportionate, and he called on the immediate ceasefire and the return to the status quo of August 6th.
Mm-hmm. And what do you know at the moment of the status of the Soviet military operations? And let me start with the city of Gori. I understood that was under assault by Russian airstrikes, and at least 60 civilians were killed in Gori over the last 48 hours.
That's right. That's conflicting information is coming from Georgia about the situation in Gori. according to some of the recent latest reports, Gori, after an assault by Russians, is taken by Russian forces. So that's according to some of the latest reports. And right now, there are preparations to defend the capital of Tbilisi, and there is an expectation that Russian troops may advance on the capital, Tbilisi.
Well, and this indicates that the Russian position is beyond defending South Ossetia.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely. Not only that, I want to also take an opportunity and refer to the Sunday meeting of the United Nations Security Council, at which Ambassador Zalman Khalilzad, United States Ambassador at the United Nations, made a reference to a confidential phone call between the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, and Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, in which basically Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov made a direct reference to the fact that Russia would like to see Saakashvili go. If I'm not mistaken, the direct quote was something to the effect that he must go.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, now, under the pretext of allegedly protecting Russian citizens in South Ossetia, you have a situation in which Russia is attempting to engineer a military regime change in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to point out is that both Gori is well beyond the borders of the South Ossetia region. It looks on the map that I have here like it's several hundred miles. And Tbilisi, the capital, is even further south. And so these Russian attacks on Gori and Tbilisi cannot be viewed as related to any territorial issues related to the South Ossetians.
Absolutely. Not only that, I should also point out the fact that the Russian Air Force subjected to bombardment critical military infrastructure facilities all across Georgia. I should note here that the Russian jets bombed extensively the strategically important Poti seaport on the Black Sea, which is hundreds of miles away from South Ossetia.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Russian forces arrived in Abkhazia, in which is another breakaway region in the western part of the country.
That is, it borders on the Black Sea and the Caucasus. The Caucasus are the mountains that rise behind Abkhazia.
That's right. 4,000 troops arrived there, and they pushed into Georgia proper, and they occupied now the several reports confirming that the Russian troops entered the fairly large town of Zugdidi, which is located in Georgia proper,
mm-hmm.
close to the border with Abkhazia.
Mm-hmm. And so do you believe that the Bush administration is properly reading the intentions of Putin and Medvedev, the duo that are running the government in Moscow now?
I would say that judging by the statement, that by today's statement, in which President Bush noted that by its brutal actions, Russia is severely damaging and possibly irreparably damaging its relations with the West in general and the United States in particular. So on the part of the administration, unequivocal warning is given to the Russian government. Now, whether this will remain within a framework of diplomatic rebukes or it will shift to the phase of direct military assistance remains questionable.
Now, one of the other developments is that after the conflict started on Friday, the United States airlifted some 2,000 Georgian soldiers who have been part of what I consider to be a phony coalition in Iraq back to Georgia. And I have a separate report, sir, that indicates that they also sent some amount of military supplies, ammunition, weapons, and others, from a resupply base that the U.S. has in Jordan. And that so it's very clear that at least in these early stages, the U.S. is fully supporting Georgia.
To be sure, I don't know. I have not come across the information with regards to shipment of the military materiel and munitions for the Georgian side, as you indicated. I am not familiar with the reports of this nature. And also you mentioned specifically a resupply base in Jordan. I'm not aware of that. But you are correct with regard to airlifting of the 2,000 soldiers. That is correct. Georgia submitted requests to the United States, and I should note here that the Georgian contribution to the Allied effort in Iraq was the third largest after American and British. We had 2,000 soldiers there. They arrived in Tbilisi Airport. Tbilisi Airport was also subject to aerial bombardment, but to the best of my understanding, according to what I received from Georgia, information that I received from Georgia, one lane is still open.
I see.
So that's what happened. And the 2,000 soldiers, you're right, they returned just recently.
Alexander Melikashvili is with us. He is with the Monterey Institute Center for Nonproliferation Studies. If you have a question or a comment about this conflict that has developed between Russia and Georgia and with the United States taking the side of Georgia, you're welcome to call in between now and the top of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Now, on a geostrategic basis, Mr. Melikashvili, the United States has supported Georgia. It has many things to offer in terms of oil from the Caucasus. It's in a very strategic position bordering Turkey, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Iran is not too far there to the east. And yet the U.S. has to make some difficult decisions here because, number one, we can't afford to take on the Russian military at this time. You're probably well aware that our military is maxed out, overextended. And likewise, we have to look at what Russia's reaction might be if we continue to oppose their moves in a very a direct way.
Well, to be sure, you have a situation in which, as you correctly pointed out, the relationship between Georgia and United States has been such that there is an expectation of more forceful diplomatic pressure on Russia from Georgia. Because, quite frankly, the developments are unfolding so rapidly that, and I'm not exaggerating, maybe tomorrow we may not even have sovereign Georgia anymore.
Yeah.
In other words, you have a situation in which Russia is reverting to the 19th century balance of power politics, in which might makes right, and they are unilaterally redrawing geopolitical map of post-Soviet space. Mm-hmm. The question that is rising now is that, who will be next? And there are very valid comparisons with 1938, with invasion of Soviet by Soviet troops of Czech Republic, with the suppression of Hungarian uprising. So history has seen precedents of this nature. If Russian action is left unanswered, there is a palpable fear in capitals of Eastern and Central European countries, as well as in Ukraine and in Baltic states, that this will herald the expansion of Russian power across both in Central and Eastern Europe, in Baltic states, as well as in Central Asia, and, of course, in Caucasus.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break here and continue with Alexander Melishkashvili. And if you have a comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. He's at the Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute. And I found a source here. It's an Israeli newspaper, Ma'ariv, that has reported that in the port of Aqaba in Jordan, that the U.S. is hiring Russian-made freight planes belonging to UTI Worldwide to transport arms and ammunition to Georgia. And the Israeli paper says the Pentagon is redirecting supplies to Tbilisi that were earmarked for Iraq. And that was reported on August 11th at 1900 hours New York time. So that's the source that I have for that, sir. We're going to take a break, and we'll return in just a moment. And again, if you have a comment or a question about the conflict between Georgia and Russia and its implications for the United States, here's your chance to get an authoritative answer at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA starting in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Highway 17, we've had a broken down car removed southbound 17. Just past Redwood Estates, may still be some heavy traffic as you approach the scene. Fishhook and Santa Cruz, you're going to see more slow traffic with stop and go traffic on southbound 1 headed down towards Aptos, where we do have a new crash southbound 1 before Soquel Drive. Two cars, and that is off to the right hand shoulder. Cannon Road at east of 101. In Aromas, we have a tree down across the entire roadway there. And in Greenfield, northbound 101 off-ramp to Espinosa Road. Solo spin-out crash off to the side. Looks like that's in the final clearing stages. Just waiting for a tow truck to arrive there. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect, only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA. Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Russia laying siege to Georgia, a former part of the Soviet Union. We're talking with Alexander Melishkashvili at the Monterey Institute Center for Nonproliferation Studies. And tell me, Alexander, does the model of Chechnya have any influence here in the way the Soviet Union is, I'm sorry, see what I said, the Russia is attempting to crack down and destabilize, maybe even take over the independent nation of Georgia?
Well, it's actually very interesting that you mentioned Chechnya, because basically in Chechnya, just to put it in a nutshell, what happened in Chechnya after two military campaigns, one in early to mid-90s, another one in late 90s, the Russian government implemented the plan by which they picked, they co-opted one of the leaders of Chechen resistance, and he was later assassinated. And his son now, who is in his early 30s, emerged as a strong man who, while being nominally pro-Russian, is consolidating rapidly power around him. And there is a great deal of uneasiness about, his name is Ramzan Kadyrov, and there is a great deal of uneasiness among Russian political elites about this figure. But the fact is that what is referred to as Chechenization policy is basically predicated on the assumption that you pick, you co-opt a vital member of a local elite and then put them in charge and support them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the scenario that was carried out in Chechnya with mixed results, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Now, Georgia is a completely different case because you have a situation in which, unless the situation is reversed, Russia appears to be undertaking a major military operation to occupy the country. Now, let me just say that, so that the listeners have a proper perspective, it's 4.5 million people, population.
Right.
So Russia would need approximately between 50,000 to 100,000 troops alone to carry out the occupation of Georgia. And quite frankly, I very much doubt that it would be possible to do. I cannot rule it out conclusively, but I have serious doubts about that. So it is actually not quite clear what are Russians' intentions as they appear to be approaching Tbilisi.
Okay.
If their intention is to get rid of Saakashvili's government altogether, then I guess they want to pick a pliant and pro-Russian leader and install them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, this will result in a long-term destabilization of the entire region, because Georgians, and I assure you, sir, they will not sit idly by while democratically elected government is deposed,
mm-hmm,
and replaced by a Russian puppet.
Alexander, I've got a couple of callers for you, so just a brief response to this question, if you would. Do you see any connection to the U.S. intention to put missile defense in Poland and the Czech Republic? Putin responding to that provocation?
Yes, definitely, definitely. Definitely this has to do with the plans to position their missile shield, definitely. However, I would say that what Russians are carrying out in Georgia closely resembles crude imitation of the 1999 NATO campaign against Yugoslavia.
Oh.
So, in a sense, what is taking place in Georgia right now is a demonstration by Russia of its power in the post-Soviet space, and it's a fulfillment of the promise on the part of Putin, who promised a response, an asymmetric response to recognition of Kosovo's independence by the United States and some of the Western countries.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Steve in Salinas. Welcome, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Alexander Melikashvili.
Well, I would just like to know what specific resources must Russia be going after in Georgia. They must have want there? What is it that the Georgians have that the Soviets want?
Well, one major component of Russia's plan vis-a-vis Georgia is the fact that, as you may know, there is a Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan pipeline that is a bold attempt to circumvent Russia, and it's been functioning for some time now, and this is the pipeline that is strategically important. British Petroleum is one of the largest shareholders of this pipeline, and it carries oil, 1% of world oil supply from Caspian Sea mm-hmm. to the Turkish coast to the port of Ceyhan.
And Steve, thanks for a great question. Alexander, just a minute remaining. Let me ask you if you think there is a diplomatic solution here, or do you expect that the U.S. might launch aerial raids in support of the government of Georgia?
You know, that's a very good question. As of now, the United States is placing emphasis on diplomatic efforts. Zalmay Khalilzad is working with the other countries to accept the resolution that has two vital components. First, respect for Georgia's territorial integrity and sovereignty,
right.
And second, immediate ceasefire. We'll have to just wait and see if this effort will be fruitful. I have my doubts about it, and I think that it will be blocked by Russia's veto. However, it will be still a strong demonstration, and Russia will be diplomatically isolated. I certainly hope that further escalation will lead the American policymakers to make other steps.
All right, sir, I've got to stop there. Thank you very much, Alexander Melikashvili, and I look forward to talking with you again. I don't think this story is over.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And if you're on the line, stay there. We'll take your call in the Free Speech Zone coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. In South Ossetia, local forces fired on Georgian troops as the war widened far beyond that disputed area. Russian forces are on the move in Georgia, where President Mikhail Saakashvili says they're effectively cut the country in half. Late today, stern words from the White House. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
President Bush is upping the pressure on Russia to agree to a ceasefire and pull its troops out of Georgia. He pointed to evidence that Russia plans to bomb the civilian airport in the Georgian capital and attempt to depose the pro-U.S. government.
These reports are accurate. These Russian actions would represent a dramatic and brutal escalation of the conflict in Georgia.
Mr. Bush avoided threatening any military action, and diplomatic options appear to be limited. One U.S. analyst says the Russians don't want a truce. They want nothing less than Georgian surrender. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
There was another emergency meeting of the U.N. Security Council, but Russia's veto power leaves the council with little room to maneuver. The State Department says 170 Americans have been evacuated from the Georgian capital Tbilisi, taken by overland convoy to Armenia. The price of crude oil fell below $115 a barrel today. A big factor is continued strengthening of the U.S. dollar. And James Cordier of OptionSellers.com says falling prices for all commodities reflect the belief that the greenback will get even stronger.
This is what the whispers are. The U.S. was the first economy to go into the recession, and will probably be the first to come out, and that is what's strengthening the U.S. dollar and that should keep commodity prices low and keep falling.
There's concern about long-term use of PPIs, a class of prescription antacids used to treat acid reflux and peptic ulcers. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
Doctors studied more than 60,000 Canadians ages 50 and older. They found people who took PPIs for 5 years were over 1.5 times more likely to have hip fractures. Those who took the drugs for 7 years were 4.5 times more likely. A particular concern because 30% of seniors who break a hip die within a year.
Prosecutors in Hillsborough, North Carolina, have decided to go all the way in the murder case that's gotten national attention. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has the story.
22-year-old Demario Atwater will face the death penalty if he's convicted of kidnapping and fatally shooting University of North Carolina Chapel Hill student body president Eve Carson. The body of the 22-year-old woman was found in a residential street near the campus in early March. Police have also charged a 17-year-old teenager in the case.
Authorities say Atwater and the teenager spotted Carson through an open window working at her computer in the middle of the night. She was kidnapped, forced to withdraw cash from ATMs, then shot 5 times, her body dumped on a street near campus. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial is 48 points higher, closing at 11,782. This is CBS News.
Whether you're blocking out noise or water, there's a new kind of earplug called BioEars that actually fights germs and helps prevent damaging bacteria from getting inside your ear. When you or your kids swim, use BioEars to keep water out and help prevent swimmer's ear. You won't find a safer or more comfortable way to block water or noise than BioEars. Made of soft silicone that conforms to the shape and size of any ear. Available in the ear care section of CVS, Rite Aid, Duane Reade, Long's Drug Fair, and online at BioEars.com. BioEars.com.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, what else would you call a place that can save you hundreds when you switch? And even more if you're a good driver. You see, at Progressive, you're rewarded for slowing down at yellow lights, using your directional, and yes, yielding at yield signs. Sounds utopian. Did I mention this music is played by actual angels with harps? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates may feel Fairfield, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy.
While he vacations in Hawaii, Barack Obama is believed to be mulling his choice of a running mate. When he makes up his mind, CBS News correspondent Dan Revive says millions of Obama backers will be the first to know.
If you've registered online as a Barack Obama supporter, you've probably gotten an email from the campaign that says you'll be informed by email or text message, quote, the moment that Obama makes his decision on a running mate. No clue as to when that may be. It's widely expected next week. The email says no other campaign has done this before. You can be part of this important moment. It invites you to tell your friends now. The campaign obviously hoping to register more supporters and contributors. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Is the world ready for a $26 grape? A new variety, the Ruby Roman grape, was introduced in Japan today. Each one is about the size of a ping pong ball. A single bunch sold at auction for as much as $910. With about 35 grapes to the bunch, that comes out to $26 a pop. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092. That's 800-536-9092. 800-536-9092.
This month, take a drive to Sears and get your car ready for the rest of those summer road trips at the Sears National Automotive Sale. Now through August 30th, come into the Sears Auto Center where all Goodyear and Michelin tires are on sale. Plus, buy a set of 4 Goodyear tires and get $20, $40, or $50 cash back after mail-in rebate. Or buy a set of 4 Michelin tires and get free installation after mail-in rebate. That's a $56 value. So come into the Sears Auto Center and live like it's summer. Sears.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer valid 8308 to 8308.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered. Except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We're launching into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice.
American music lost a great one over the weekend. Isaac Hayes died in Memphis at the age of 65. I got a chance to meet Ike Hayes one time at a radio interview with him. That was during a time when he was broke. He'd been through the bankruptcy process and was trying to rebuild. Then he got a break doing a morning show on a soul station or a hip-hop station in New York City. And then South Park called, and he became the voice of Chef. Quite a character there, especially in the Scientology episode, if you remember that one. Ike Hayes, we're going to miss you.
Who's the black private dick that's assassin machine to all the chicks?
You're damn right.
Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Can you dig it?
Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's things you're all about?
It was a lousy movie, by the way.
You see, this cat Chef is a
but a soundtrack that endures.
What I'm talking about, Chef? He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Chef.
All right, let's open up the phone lines here in the free speech zone. There's plenty to talk about today. And, of course, John Edwards laid out his confession about the affair with Riel Hunter late on Friday as we're heading to an Olympics weekend with war breaking out in Georgia. I mean, could you pick a time better to hope that a story wouldn't get full coverage? And you may want to comment on that. We talked about it a little bit on Friday. I sat on the story for 2 weeks after I heard about the bizarre incident now 2 weeks ago at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, waiting for the tabloid thing to blow up, and it finally did. And I'm sorry to see it. John Edwards was never my first choice for president. Too tightly wound, too narrowly focused. He used the term narcissistic, and I thought that applied before I knew that he used it on himself. And while I appreciated the positions he took on policies, when he went to New Orleans and championed those who were victims of Katrina and the failed aftermath, he was there building houses. And it was so incongruent because he had been working for a hedge fund that paid him, what, $400,000? And that same hedge fund was pushing foreclosures of people in the New Orleans area. And he seemed to really have a tin ear about those kinds of inconsistencies. Now, I, for one, don't blame him for being a rich lawyer and choosing to run for president championing the issues of the working poor in this country. But like I said, the hedge fund thing just did not fit, and he could never really explain it very well. So if you want to comment on Senator Edwards, that's fine. I've got some information about the way that the FBI has mishandled the anthrax investigation. Probably get to that a little bit later this hour. But I want to continue the conversation about this threat of war that could involve the United States. The conflict now is between Russia and Georgia. And you heard great commentary from Alexander Melikashvili, and I'm getting better at pronouncing his name. And before we go to your calls at 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372, I got an email from a listener named Holly who sent me a commentary from Paul Craig Roberts that is posted at opednews.com today. And I will just tell you that I'm learning a lot about the relationship between Russia and Georgia, the history of Georgia. I don't claim to be an expert on this, and I'm going to offer you this point of view as contrast to what you heard a few minutes ago, and then I'd like you to call and let me know what you think. So Paul Craig Roberts writes, August 9th, 2008, the liberal Washington Post has written an editorial urging the U.S. to go to war with Russia. With its editorial, quote, "Stopping Russia, the U.S. and its allies must unite against Moscow's war on Georgia," The Washington Post has established a world record for the maximum number of lies in the minimum number of words. Except for the Post, the entire world knows that Georgia initiated the aggression that killed Russian peacekeepers and hundreds of civilians in South Ossetia, peacekeepers who were there with the blessing of Georgia and international agreements. The true facts are available all over the world press, but the liberal Washington Post serves up the lie that Russia has attacked Georgia and conceivably plans to conquer all of Georgia. This is a grave challenge to the United States and Europe, thunders the Bush regime's mouthpiece, a.k.a. the liberal media. Thirsting for blood, the, quote, liberal media declares, the U.S. and its NATO allies must together impose a price on Russia. Here we see the combination of idiocy and delusion in one sentence. The United States has proved that it's incapable of occupying Iraq, much less Afghanistan. Russia has a large trade surplus. America's NATO allies are dependent on Russian natural gas. Yet the liberal Washington Post wants a bankrupt U.S. and its NATO allies, who are dependent on Russian energy, to impose a price on Russia for defending its peacekeepers. Seldom has the world seen such total insanity as the neoconservative Washington Post, a propaganda sheet so far from the liberal media as it's possible to be. Georgia was part of old Russia and the Soviet Union for two centuries. After Soviet communism collapsed, the U.S. taxpayer-funded neoconservative National Endowment for Democracy broke every agreement President Reagan had made with Gorbachev and began using U.S. taxpayer money to rig and purchase elections in former constituent parts of the Russian Soviet Empire. So that's a very different take. And it suggests that Russia is right in this position. And I have a hard time reconciling Russia being right with Putin in charge. and so that leaves me a little confused and searching for more comment. Let's go to Andy in New York. Welcome, Andy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Sounded like that was right out of Pravda.
Well, I'm...
just a propaganda piece.
It does sound that way. I'm no fan of the Washington Post, and so I have to say that we have strange bedfellows here, and I don't really know who Paul Craig Roberts is. I've seen his byline before, but I can't peg him and his point of view. And so I have to say that I've got more work to do to find out what's really going on here and whose side we ought to be on.
You know, it amazes me, the Ukrainians, the Bielorussians, the Lithuanians, the Latvians, all of them different ethnic minorities, even the Ossetians that consider themselves Russians aren't exactly white Russians that are really the aristocrats of Russia.
Well, we know on Friday Russian troops were passing out passports to Ossetians, conferring instant citizenship on them so that Putin could say, we're here to defend Russians.
True. Well, what amazes me is the cavalier attitude taken by Bush as Rome is basically burning. He's twiddling away his time watching China play the USA in a basketball game. You would think with this major, and the major thing about it is not as much a small country like Georgia, but what effect this will have on the other satellite nations around Russia to know that you cannot count on NATO, you cannot count on the U.S. to come to your aid. I mean, they have to be shocked of what they see going on and letting Russia have this. And even you would think Bush, the first thing he should have done, run back to the U.S., try to get together Brown of England, Merkel of Germany, Sarkozy, and I know the French are there mm-hmm. with representatives. But England's got that BP pipeline that your spokesman just said. They have a large investment there.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that they would all be together and denouncing this, at least get on the major stage and saying that, you know, this will not stand it. And
well, but what are we going to do about it, Andy? I mean, this is a very delicate situation. Here we have Dick Cheney, who called Mr. Saakashvili, the president of Georgia, on the phone on Sunday and said Russian aggression must not go unanswered. That's the kind of thing that George H.W. Bush said about Saddam's invasion of Kuwait back in 91.
That's true. It was at the end of a New York Times piece, this Major Georgi said, write exactly what I say to the New York Times reporter. He said, over the past 2 years, I have lived in a democratic society. I was happy. And now America and the European Union are spitting on us. And I know a number of soldiers have commented to the reporters there that they feel completely let down by NATO and the U.S. You're right. It's a tough situation. What do? You at least maybe could do some kind of gunboat diplomacy, like carry a big stick and maybe not exactly use it, but at least do something that shows the United States stands with Saakashvili, who is basically being thrown to the dogs and probably going to lose his country.
Well, and Georgia, if you read the detailed accounts in the New York Times, for example, soldiers and commanders there were under the impression that because they came to Iraq, sent 2,000 troops, and as Melikashvili pointed out, number three now behind Britain in terms of its commitment to our mess in Iraq, they assumed there would be reciprocity. They assumed that we would be there, right behind them, the way we're behind the Iraqi Defense Force.
Right, and this army is American-trained as well. There were American trainers.
And equipped. Yeah, we have at least 150 military advisors in Georgia right now. So this is going to be very interesting. Andy, I appreciate your comments today, and call me again when you have more to say. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's your free speech zone. Let me know what's on your mind. John Edwards, the conflict between Georgia and Russia, or as we continue, I'll tell you about the mess the FBI has made in the anthrax investigation. That's all up for conversation here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests, and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Just a couple of things out there. Boulder Creek northbound 9 at Bear Creek Road. Getting reports of a pothole that's opened up in the roadway. Watch out as you drive through the area. Blanco Road near Reservation Road. We are getting reports of a dog that's apparently running around the lanes. Drive with caution there. Highway 68, no stalls, no accidents to tell you about. Same goes for 17 Santa Cruz Mountains. You will see the heavy traffic when you get to the Fish Hook. And, of course, some slow traffic on southbound 1. South 101, slow traffic getting out of South San Jose from Coyote Creek Golf Drive down into the Morgan Hill area. And this is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. Now, if you spot a traffic problem out there, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Another classic from the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives. Isaac Hayes, who died yesterday. A song that he lifted from Dionne Warwick called Walk On By. And by the way, Bernie Mac passed away over the weekend too. And I confess, I never watched a full episode of his show. But he was a pretty talented guy. We continue now in the Free Speed Zone. Your calls and comments welcome here. We're talking about this conflict between Georgia and the Republic of Russia. And Scott Dick, who is a regular contributor to our program on military and veterans issues, has checked in with us today, and I'm glad. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Peter.
So we've got a potential real problem on our hands here, don't we?
Well, this is ominous because Georgia does not have the technology to deal with the Russians. They made a classic move. They thought they had the biggest dog in the neighborhood on their back. What they found out, it's a complete pack of lies. I think Bush is completely impotent in dealing with this. We've been arming and training the Georgians now for a couple of years. We pumped a lot of money into them. If you look at their troops, a lot of them are wearing BDUs, which is the old uniform from our army. And so there, we got the pipeline built to bypass Russia. And with the South Ossetia breakaway, I can't help but think that somebody did not tell Saakashvili that it was okay to go and try to rein those guys in, that we'd cover them. Mm-hmm. There's no way we can cover them, Peter. There's no possible way.
Not even just with airstrikes to back up the ground troops of Georgia?
No. And the reason I say that is that the Russians will control the air. They have, I was looking very carefully at whatever video I could see of the troops. These are not the kind of troops that came to Bosnia. They have new equipment. They're not driving T-72s, driving T-84s, the most modern tank. The equipment is well-maintained. The troops are in uniform. They're wearing their helmets. These are all indicators that these are first-line professional soldiers. And then you have the professional soldiers from Georgia in Iraq, who are going to be flown piecemeal back into the country. And so what I saw were the Georgians, some kids in tennis shoes, they mobilized reservists, some kids in tennis shoes. I saw a team of Georgians going to battle on a quad runner. So we're talking two different, completely different armies here as far as, we're talking mouse and a really, really big bear.
And I don't know if you heard Mr. Melikashvili, but he thinks that the government in Tbilisi could fall imminently, as soon as tomorrow.
Yeah, the Russians are done dealing with him, and he's seen as an American puppet. He was democratically elected, but then he apparently went on the warpath and quashed a sort of a mini uprising in his own country, not the South Ossetia. Bush went to NATO and begged them to give them NATO membership, and the EU and the rest of the members of NATO refused because of his last shenanigans. So without a NATO umbrella, the United States would have to act unilaterally, and I just can't imagine us getting into a shooting war, any kind of fight, with the Russians. probably the only thing we could do is to land, if the, as long as the Tbilisi airport's still open, land a military contingent there, spread them out, and tell the Russians, you better not hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a peace, sort of a human shield. There are no other trip. We don't have any other trip bars. We don't have any minefields. I mean, I'm talking rhetorical now. We don't have troops for the conflicts we're in. And I think that Putin is, they looked at it and said, what can the Americans do?
Well, and I also believe that this is pushback or blowback for our efforts to proceed with a missile defense system that Putin clearly feels is designed to protect somebody from Russia.
Well, I'm not sure that's a. I'm not quite sure I agree with that, because they want to put the missile defense shield in places like Poland and the Czech, and I don't think the Russians are going to try to redo the Soviet Union. Georgia is a much easier case. It's been a thorn in Russia's side. I keep hearing on the news them talking about the Soviet Union, and you know, this is about score settling. This is about an uppity nation with a pompous windbag as a president. You know, he's come back to the United States a couple times, been invited to the White House. He's been feted and seen as a sort of a democratic bastion in that part of the country. He shares a border with Turkey. We could always run supplies if we aren't already to the Turkish border, if the Turks will let us.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminds me of the Suez affair, when the Russians stopped the Hungarian uprising by invading it with tanks and armored personnel carriers. We and NATO could do nothing because the Brits and the French were in the Suez, and we were trying to get them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So NATO was completely just fell apart.
Scott, just about 30 seconds. What should we be watching for?
An escape pod coming out of Tbilisi with Shakashvili inside of it,
mm-hmm.
and somebody that's not that's a little less, makes the Russians less crazy.
So he's done, and Russia will either intimidate a new patsy government in Tbilisi, or they'll just take over the country.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's going to be a very interesting week. Not all the competition is in Beijing.
Nope. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Scott. Always appreciate your expertise. Straight ahead, room for your calls. Dial me in right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course, it's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speed zone taking your calls, and there's room for some calls. It's summertime. People are on vacation in a way, I understand. But that means you can get through a short wait on hold. So dial in right now and talk to Katrina, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
I feel so extraordinary. Something's got a hold on me.
Peter B., that's 888-573-8372. And coming up shortly, I want to share with you some of the sordid details of the roadkill from the FBI's investigation into the anthrax attacks of the fall of 2001. But first, I feel a panic attack coming on. Tommy Panic is our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter. And I always get these little cryptic emails. Somehow, despite the fact that Sheik and other Americans were denied visas to go to Beijing, it's not Beijing, Beijing for the Olympic Games, Tommy Panic got into China and checks in now at great expense to me from Beijing. Hey, Tommy.
Peter, how are you? I know I'm on the other side of the globe. Where's my theme music, though?
I didn't have time to set it up because I was distracted by the pending war with Russia.
Good Lord. Well, come on, get your priorities straight, please, sir. But, yeah, you know, I did arrive in China initially about a week ago, only to be turned back at the airport. This was weird. They cited my association with Blackwater, and I said just because they pursue me doesn't mean I'm associated with them. And also they cited the fact that I had taken that audience a few years back with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. So I got sent home, had to get a little bit resourceful, use Big Brown, and just shipped myself over here. Kind of a long, sweaty, unpleasant trip, but that's not really the story. What matters is that I'm here, and I'm posing as a scientist from Syria, really wanting to practice my English, and working for the China Anti-Doping Agency. We're basically trying to figure out who this Olympics Marion Jones is going to be.
I see.
And, yeah, over the course of the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be conducting over 4,500 tests. I should say the agency is. They're blood tests. They're urine tests. I'm kind of a queasy guy, so the blood doesn't really work for me. So I am working with the urine. I'm the urine guy, trying to figure out who's getting a little extra performance enhancement. You hear that and you kind of think Viagra, which by the way was nearly added to the list of banned substances, but it wasn't. And now a lot of the scientists here talking about that the use of that little blue pill and other non-banned medications are going to be widespread during the games.
Wow.
I don't know what that means. If you watch out for horny male athletes around the region here.
Well, you'd think that in a Speedo, the use of that drug would be a little more obvious.
And would that really help you? I don't know that it necessarily would.
Yeah, the coefficient of drag might increase in the pool.
I'm not a scientist, but I will agree with you. We did, by the way, sneak a sample of the president's blood and tested it. It was, in fact, human, and there was no Viagra. But I'm going to be spending the next couple of weeks in this $10 million lab, the Beijing Olympic Center. Did I say that right?
Beijing. Jing, 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 like jingo.
Jing, Beijing Olympic, the sports center. And it's weird. I'm hardly equipped to do this, but I'm playing the part pretty well. I'm working with mass spectrometers, gas chromatography instruments, all sorts of things that I have no business touching. And this isn't a real popular topic here, Peter, in the lab. These scientists are so egotistical, but I've suggested many times the use of a polygraph test to accompany the drug test to determine if athletes are cheating. And how about this? How about extending the polygraph to include the coaches of these Chinese gymnasts regarding the age of these girls? Chinese officials claim their paperwork is in order. We're attempting to determine if these girls have been scientifically altered to prevent the onset of puberty,
right.
Therefore kind of suspending them in a fan of a Teletubbies type state. Or if these girls, some as young as 10, have assumed the identity of slaughtered organ harvested Falun Gong practitioners. Do you need a kidney, Peter? We hope to know more soon. But either way, I believe something is ethically incorrect, whether it's a human rights violation or scientific manipulation, I'm not sure. But the opening ceremonies were sweet, weren't they?
Yeah, I got to watch that, the special effects, the pyrotechnics, the 2008 people moving in unison. It was amazing.
Unbelievable, but I should run. I will spend the next couple of days, though, pursuing this story. I will conduct drug tests, the urine kind. I will work on my English. I will enjoy the smog. Coming up, I'm meeting up with a placenta guy. And then I'm going to go watch some swimming at the Cube.
Okay. Well, Tommy, keep it in. Pardon me. Keep it under budget, okay?
I'll do what I can.
We're really tight right now, so don't come back with like 6 kidneys, because that would blow the budget, and it might cause you extra scrutiny at the airport too.
No more than 2 kidneys, I promise.
Okay. That's Tommy Panic live from Beijing, not Beijing, Beijing, China, and wow. There's so much in his report, it's just got me almost swimming in the Cube here, but I just think, all right, he is doing these anti-doping lab tests and pretending to be a Syrian. I just can only picture part of that in my mind. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join us here in the Free Speech Zone. Ernie's got a comment from Monterey. Hi, Ernie.
Wow, the placenta part. I'm still trying to figure that one out, but that was pretty good.
Yeah, he's amazing, isn't he?
Hey, so last hour we found out that this is the Georgian thing has a lot to do about oil, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Didn't Bush look Putin right in the eye? And I guess it wasn't that he could tell he was a real honest man, but I think the real deal was he was a real oil man.
Yeah, yeah. He looked in there and he didn't actually see his soul. He just saw some light, sweet crude.
Absolutely. And so these guys, and it cracks me up now on a more serious note, is that Putin's seen what the United States has done basically going after oil. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a unilateral first strike type of an event in Iraq. So what's to hold Putin back from going to say, hey, let's go down to Georgia, 1% of the oil? Do you know how many billions and billions of dollars that is of oil? Let's go down there and get that. How can Bush come back on Putin and tell him, hey, you're not doing the right thing?
Well, because it's obvious that Bush has the moral high ground. Because of our successful invasion of Iraq and the occupation there, and we've done so well in Afghanistan where the Soviets failed.
Oh, there was and the surge worked.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the Soviets were in Afghanistan for how many years?
Let's see. I think about 9.
Yeah, nearly a decade, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, but anyway, I can see where Putin can really get a foothold here on his in his stance going in there and justifying what he's doing, because boy, Bush has got a hollow argument against him doing anything now.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, Bush is wedged in so many ways. He has no leverage with Putin on a diplomatic level. He has no leverage economically. And militarily, the whole world knows that we're bogged down in Iraq and that we have made a mess of Afghanistan and have to send more troops there to try to fix that. And so, yeah, Bush's cards are all on the table, and they're all deuces. Well, they're deuces and threes because there aren't any pairs.
Well, good going, Peter. Well, keep up the good work.
All right, Ernie. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to chime in on this issue. It is a very serious development, and it is so hard to see the United States put into this position. And to see a former KGB guy like Vladimir Putin, who clearly has the upper hand, and keep in mind he controls the media in Russia, and he has a very strong grip on the government there, in particular because he's willing to kill in a cold-blooded way. And so I think this is the biggest challenge that Bush and Cheney have faced. And Bush did return to Washington, where Cheney was busy, you know, making statements and threats on behalf of the United States. And perhaps this is going to be so distracting that it could block the intention toward Iran that Bush and Cheney have harbored for some time. But that comes at a terrible price. And the risk that we face is having to operate on multiple fronts where we don't have control of the territory that we back up to. Very, very scary. I wanted to mention one other thing that caught my attention. The New York Times Sunday front page, upper left. William J. Broad shared a byline with Scott Shane. Shane is based in Washington, has been doing an excellent job on the anthrax investigation. And Broad is a science writer who I've interviewed in the past. And they went deep into the FBI's anthrax investigation. We know about Bruce Ivins, who committed suicide and has now been fingered as the sole perpetrator of the anthrax attacks of 2001. Before that was Stephen Hatfill, who also worked there at Fort Detrick, and the FBI made him miserable for several years and had to cough up more than $5 million with an admission that he is not the suspect here. And there are other casualties. There's a man named Mike Sell. That's his last name. And I'm jumping through the article here looking for his first name. Perhaps I'll find it. But Mike Sell was an anthrax specialist who'd worked in the 80s and 90s with Bruce Ivins at the Army Medical Research Center at Fort Detrick. Then he joined the military contractor called Battelle in Columbus, Ohio. In 2002, Mike Sell came under FBI scrutiny. He began to drink heavily, a fifth of hard liquor a day. It was a shock that all of a sudden he's a raging alcoholic, recalled a relative. In October of 2002, he was dead. His short obituary in the Columbus newspaper made no mention of the anthrax investigation or his work, and simply reported that he drank himself to death. Another casualty, Kenneth Berry, an emergency room physician with a strong interest in bioterrorism threats. In August of 2004, agents raided his colonial-style home in Wellsville, western New York. In scenes replayed for days on local television, authorities cordoned off the streets, agents in protective suits emerged from the dwellings. He was devastated, said his lawyer at the time, Clifford Lazzaro. They destroyed his marriage and destroyed him professionally for a time. So those are just two examples. And I hope that when the history of the Bush administration is written, that these kinds of ham-handed criminal investigations will be seen as an aberration, not as policy. But at this point, we can't say that. We'll take a break and return for more of your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Just a couple of things out there. Boulder Creek northbound 9 at Bear Creek Road. Getting reports of a pothole that's opened up in the roadway. Watch out as you drive through the area. Blanco Road near Reservation Road. We are getting reports of a dog that's apparently running around the lanes. Drive with caution there. Highway 68. No stalls, no accidents to tell you about. Same goes for 17 Santa Cruz Mountains. You will see the heavy traffic when you get to the Fishhook. And, of course, some slow traffic on southbound 1. South 101. Slow traffic getting out of South San Jose from Coyote Creek Golf Drive down into the Morgan Hill area. And this is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. Now, if you spot a traffic problem out there, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
So I have developed a technique called tantrum yoga. Use your anger to heat your home in the wintertime. Tantrum yoga, that is where you hold your breath until God gives you what you want. Now, of course, that's how Krishna turned blue.
Will there be a blue Krishna without you?
I became an Elvis's witness. You ring the doorbell, they open up, and you say, "Are you lonesome tonight?"
That's the Swami Beyond Ananda. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
PlanetCruise.org.
save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for joining us on the program today. And if you heard something you liked or something you didn't, you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. I want to grab a quick comment from Mary Ann in Pacific Grove, and then we're going to talk about oak trees and global warming. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hello, Peter B. I wanted to talk about the opening of whatever you want to call it of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I kept seeing Leni Riefenstahl's film, Triumph of the Will.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
All those shadows and geometrics and topped off by the goose stepping with the flag. I thought that was a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
It made me very nervous. And then they talked about all those people who had the electric suits on, and the director at the last moment changed his mind. They had been black. He said, no, I want them green. And I don't know how many thousands of people there were, but they did it in 2.5 days, and I'm just seeing about 10 women frantically sewing.
24 hours a day.
Yeah, well, the director's comment was, well, we do have the people. Remember, I don't know if you saw it all, but I just
watched parts of it, and I heard some of Bob Costa's commentary, but honestly, you know, I'm not that deeply engaged, so I checked it out for the visuals and the imagery. And I don't expect American television to give us anything really deep or critical. They're going to focus on the sports and avoid the politics, I think, as much as they can.
Yeah, I just saw politics in the opening ceremonies and all of that visual stuff, especially, you know, if you go back and watch the Leni Riefenstahl films that she did for Hitler.
Yeah.
Same stuff.
All right. Thank you, Marianne. Good to hear from you today.
Hey.
Tom Gaiman joins us now, a registered professional forester and a board member of the California Oak Foundation. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, my pleasure.
And I just want you to know how accidental this is. I have a post office box that was once registered to S.I. Hayakawa, the senator from California.
Oh, right.
And his late wife is on your mailing list. You might want to check that on your list. But I got a copy of your Oaks 2040 study. And I had to call you because this is fascinating. And what you report is that we have 13 million acres of oak woodlands and forests in California. And you believe that this is a carbon sequestration system that can really help us cope with human contributions to climate change.
Well, it's part of the puzzle, and the puzzle, it's a very complex situation with climate change right now, but it's the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, and it's, these are our native oak woodlands, and so they have lots of values to us other than just sequestering carbon, but that in itself is a pretty important thing these days.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just looking at, you have table one here, oak woodland carbon metric tons by county. And let's just take, we have a lot of listeners in Humboldt County, for example. There are, you show 1 million tons of canyon oak. What does that refer to?
Okay, well, what we did was, you've got to realize there's oak woodlands in California and there's oak forests in California.
Uh-huh.
And we divided the map of the vegetation of California up into the forest and then the woodland types, and then we broke down each of those two main categories into each 10 types, which describe the oak component in that mm-hmm. forest or woodland.
Mm-hmm.
And canyon live oak, as you've probably seen, it's the most widespread oak in the state, California, extending from San Diego County all the way up to Del Norte, including Humboldt, is a major component of our oak biota in California, and it also is a major carbon sink. The trees themselves, the duff and down logs and down woody debris, as they call it, coarse woody debris and fine woody debris, and the soil litter and duff or humus, and, of course, the soil-borne carbon, and not to mention the carbon in the roots of trees. So all of these things are being measured in fine detail, and there's a lot to be said for protecting these oak woodlands as well as all the other forests in California, trying to stop them from burning up and using them to offset some of our carbon consumption, our carbon emissions in the state, which are huge.
And so, Tom, if we were to embark on a plan to plant more oak trees in California, would they be the best bioabsorber of these carbon emissions, or are there other trees that actually suck up more carbon?
Well, fast-growing trees suck up quite a bit of carbon, and oaks, as you know, can be very slow-growing. So there are other forest trees that can do pretty well. Redwoods, for instance, can suck up quite a bit of carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And not only just trees, but shrubbery and wetlands are big carbon sinks. And, of course, the ocean itself is a big carbon sink. So, but cumulatively, we can absorb a lot of carbon. And one other thing that's very important in this is that of these oak woodlands, about 38% of the area of these oak woodlands is what's called non-stocked, or they don't have any trees in them. So there's lots of opportunity and lots of places to actually restore the oak woodlands and the 300 species, native species of birds and other fauna that are native to those woodlands, and the area, the land's out there. And for future generations, we need to do this because the oaks in California, by and large, are not regenerating naturally.
And, Tom, I'm looking here. Your website is californiaoaks.org. That's californiaoaks.org. Can people see the material in this printed report that I have at your website?
Well, it's actually, there's two. This is part of a series, and they can see the first document of the series at californiaoaks.org. And if you want to see the carbon part two of the Oaks 2040 series, that'll be up on the website this week, or you can see it on our other website, www.forestdata.com.
Okay, I lost that last part. It was?
Forest Data. It's forestdata.com.
Great, forestdata.com. Tom, thank you very much, and I appreciate your work.
Okay, thank you. Good luck.
Tom Gaiman.
Need all your help with the Oaks.
California Oaks. I'm Peter B. Collins. This program is produced by Katrina Rill. Tune in again tomorrow, same time, same great stations.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The crisis in Georgia deepened today as Russian forces pushed further into the country. Georgia's ambassador to Washington says it's a premeditated assault.
You can't launch such a large-scale military invasion in 1 or 2 days. So it was very well planned.
President Bush calls it a dramatic and brutal escalation.
Russia has invaded a sovereign neighboring state and threatens a democratic government elected by its people. Such an action is unacceptable in the 21st century.
He wants Russia to agree to an immediate ceasefire and accept international mediation, but the Russians give no sign that they're willing to change course. The fighting has infuriated Georgians living in this country. WCBS Radio's Marla Diamond reports from the UN.
Demonstrators, many draped in the red and white Georgian flag, chanted "Russia out of Georgia," urging the international community to intervene.
There has to be absolutely stern statement, not only from the United States, but as well as the European Union and the whole world community, that this is absolutely unacceptable.
There is anger and fear.
This is genocide, actually.
Some had tears in their eyes, angry about the conflict, worried about friends and relatives in the middle of it. Marla Diamond, CBS News, New York.
Another day of Olympic competition is underway in Beijing, and CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports the focus is on the pools.
The U.S. has a good chance for a trio of gold medals. Michael Phelps, of course, is the big favorite to win the 200-meter freestyle, but the U.S. also has a chance for gold in a pair of backstroke events. Aaron Pearsall hopes to win a second straight Olympic gold in the men's 100-meter backstroke, while Natalie Coughlin hopes to do the same in the women's 100-meter backstroke.
Swimmer Mark Spitz, who won seven gold medals at the Summer Games in 1972, is miffed that he's not there as Michael Phelps tries to break his record. No one invited him to Beijing. Now 58, Spitz says he would have won eight, but back in his day they didn't have the 50-meter freestyle. American Todd Bachman was stabbed to death on Saturday, his wife Barbara critically injured by an apparently deranged Chinese man who then took his own life. In Minneapolis today, family spokesman Dale Bachman says Barbara's